Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you, what a welcome back. I love Aretha. I love this song, and I'm happy to be back with all of you. So let's start the way we always start. Hey, everybody. This is Janine, and you are listening to Lunch with Loud. Coffee Talk radio shows are part of the Coffee Party Be the Media project. If you'd like to be a part of our team, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com/volunteer. Be the media. It's a lovely day at the big house in Little Woods. It's too lovely for March in Oregon, frankly. It's been almost tropical here for weeks. Only 10% of snowpack. So, hey, we'll talk more later when the state has run out of water next spring or next summer, rather. But that's our show for another day. We can talk about climate change and how oceans, warming oceans, change weather patterns. I am back from a three-month hiatus and ready to hear what you have been up to and what is calling you to action today. I think I want to start, though, with, you know, I'll get in my few words about Coffee Party, all our news, what's happening, and then we're going to let you steer the conversation. Given current events, I could talk away all day by myself, but I know that you have something to say, and people would just as soon hear your voice. So remember, in a few minutes, 646-929-2495. You can tell I haven't been saying that number for a little while. We'll be talking about what calls you to action. First, I want to start with a little bit of personal news, and that is I have a new motto, and it is, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And I did the little Google search, and I found that someone named Max Lucado has publicized that thinking. I've been informed by my Facebook friends, however, that it's sort of a plagiarization of Helen Keller, and she said, and I quote, "I am only one, but I am still one. I cannot do everything, but I can still do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." So that's like the opposite of defeatism. And it's an interesting kind of optimism, but it's an engaged optimism. And I really appreciate sort of the full story behind this kind of motto I've adapted. And with all due respect to the full meal deal here, and with respect to the person who reduced it to only 10 words, my motto stands, and I want the T-shirt. You want the T-shirt too, let me know. We'll work that out. please, T-shirt team, don't. I'll talk to you before I do anything. If you saw the Lunch With on Facebook page today, you saw an image of this very thing. And I had actually pulled over to take the photo when I was driving through Lebanon, Oregon, just earlier this week. Small rural town, I don't know, maybe 20,000 people. No, I think it's smaller than that. But I was just awestruck with the simplicity and the power of this statement. We all have something that calls us to action. Being that turns our head to see a TV report, you may not have been paying attention, and all of a sudden we're looking. Or it makes you stay in your car in the driveway after you've arrived home so that you can finish the radio news story that you're listening to about this thing. But these are the things, I believe, that tip our moral compass, that affect us in some fundamental way. And I think it's a little bit unique to each one of us exactly what those things are, whether the tip of the compass is good or not so good, the recognition of and the insight about that issue needs to be nurtured as if it ever could come to fruition, if it could move you to action. So, as I said earlier, on today's Lunch with Loudon, you'll have a chance to hear what those issues are for callers and to share yours if you like. Call in 646-929-2495, or you can join in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. I'm flying solo today. Everyone is in New York, and my team is still on hiatus. So I'll try to see all of you out there, new callers and new chatters. It's a pleasing group of people, I can tell you now, looking at the studio board. But I promised coffee party news first, and here it is. First, I want you to consider this an official call for volunteers to serve specifically on the elections committee. This is a group of 5 to 8 volunteers to review and vet applications, interview applicants, and recommend candidates for office to the board of directors. Not too late to apply to be on that team. And you go to www.coffeepartyusa.com/volunteer, and you let the dialog box know that you're interested in the elections committee, and someone will get back to you. Second, consider this a call for applicants for seats on the board, on the Coffee Party board of directors. Elections for 4 seats on the board, 1 officer seat, and 3 director seats is scheduled for June 21st through the 25th. That's coming right up. But there are a couple of other dates to remember with regard to elections. First of all, and this is very important, March 31st, the last day of this month, is the last day to become a member, a voting member, if you want to apply to be on the elections committee, or if you want to run for office, or if you want to vote in the election. And this was a change that was recommended in, to the board and approved, so that people actually were engaged with Coffee Party prior to elections. Let's see. And then folks who are going to be running for office, you have until March 31st to volunteer for a work group if you want to run. So that means that candidates need to have some level of active engagement with Coffee Party prior to running. April 15th is the last day to submit applications for consideration as a candidate for a member, a seat on the board of directors. You get all that information about the upcoming elections if you go to www.coffeepartyusa.com/resources, and then you can click on the most recent newsletter. The most recent newsletter will give you all kinds of information and links to things like applications for running, and what does the election committee do, and what is the process we're going to follow, sort of all the, just sort of fill out the skeleton of everything that you have heard me talk to you about today. But time is of the essence, and so I'm trying every medium I know, every social medium I know, to let people know. We would just love to have lots and lots and lots of voters this year and candidates. All right, moving to another issue in terms of Coffee Party news, we have created a thing called the Calendar of Opportunity. It lives in the background, available to activists from our organization, organizers from our organization, and other organizations, like-minded organizations that have been given access. And we started it, Coffee Party started it. It's like a reference calendar to track and plan for participation in events all across the country. Another group, one that actually has staff, remember, we're all volunteers. Everyone at Coffee Party USA is a volunteer. They picked up the project. And so now, if you want to have your event, if you have an event in Omaha or Lebanon, Oregon, or I don't know where, Michigan, Minnesota, where do you live? If you want to let people know that that event is coming up, you can, let's see, what's exactly, well, heck, you can just leave a message on the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page, or you could email me at Janine@coffeepartyusa.com, and look at your events on this master calendar. Now, it'll be a way to cue coffee party to help you promote your event. And we'll probably engage with you in some way, whether it's a Facebook post or more, email blast, whatever it takes to support your event. But it'll also let other organizations know about your event. And that can only be a good thing, right? Only be a good thing. So here's some examples. Tomorrow, March 13th, is National Drop-In and Hangout Day. To stop the fast track of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, if that's something you're interested in, you can go to the Lunch with God and Facebook page and click on the link. Or if you're listening, you just want to go there, I think the number, here it is. It's www.popularresistance.org/stop-fast-track. And so I will put that in chat in just a couple minutes. So that's on the calendar of opportunity, and I can share it with you, and I've posted about it and shared the word. Here's one that's on the calendar that I'm not going to promote until after the show today. Saturday is Pi Day. It's Pi Day, you guys. All you nerd like me kind of folks. So March 14th, 2015 is 3.1415. And so if you have coffee and pie at 9:26, I don't care if it's a.m. or p.m., then we have the 3.1415926 day. This is an amazing thing. And so I'm going to give you a chance to share a little meme about taking a picture of yourself having coffee and pie. And it could be tea or cocoa. It doesn't have to be coffee, but it has to be pie, and you can do Hatch Pi Day. You know, you can share that on Twitter on Hatch Pi Day. You can share it at Lunch with Loudon. You can share it everywhere because I think it's time to have a little Pi Day. It's a great excuse to go to the coffee shop and have something yummy with your coffee. So, and then, like I said, I'll post more information about Pi Day on the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page after the show. The last thing I want to remind you about before we get going is that the Coffee Party Book Club continues. And if you want to check out the most recent book, you go to www.coffeepartyusa.com. You've heard this before, /stronghold, STRONGHOLD. And I'll put that in chat on Monday, March 30th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll have a chance to ask Professor Schaller, the author, his take on the direction of the Republican Party and what it means for all of us as we host him on our special monthly blog talk program radio event. And I'm right now looking back to the name of the book because I didn't put it in my notes. It's called A Stronghold: How Republicans Captured Congress but Surrendered the White House. I think this will be an interesting conversation and one that maybe this is something that calls you to action. Maybe this is something that you'd like to participate in. So go to the website, go to the event, and there's even an offer where you can buy the book and a little bit of change goes to Coffee Party. But we also encourage you to go to your local homegrown bookstore and see if you can find this book and support local business at the same time. Well, I think I can think of more. And if I do, I'll just insert myself into the conversation. But right now, I'd like to ask you to share with the rest of us what calls you to action, what concerns you, and I guess especially what is it that would make you brave enough to call in to a radio talk show. So I see hands up now, and for those of you that haven't been brave enough to raise your hand, you press 1, and it puts you in the caller queue. If you haven't called in yet, if you're streaming or listening on or watching chat, 646-929-2495. Okay, I'm opening up the mic now for area code. There you go, air code 641.
Hi, Janine.
Hi. Ah, it's Bob.
Yes, it is Bob. How are you?
Why don't you? I'm doing great, and thanks for being my first caller. Now that I'm back on the air, and why don't you let
and welcome back by the way.
Know, oh, thank you so much. What a travail. I had the flu shot. I got the flu. I had the pneumonia shot. I got pneumonia. My goodness. So today's
not
the
good.
Coffee with my show. I'm having the Dr. Oz green drink.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay healthy. So why don't you let our listeners know where you're from, who you are?
I'm from Iowa. A grand little city about the size of the one you found the sign in.
Excellent.
We have 13,000 people. And what moves me to action is all things either legal or political that happen to catch my attention. Because
yeah.
there's a lot out there competing for my attention.
Yes. So anything calling you particularly today?
Absolutely. I've come to refer to them as the Cotton 48 because you have
yes.
47 senators and a governor that, in my opinion, stopped just short of treason but did violate and conspire to violate the Logan Act and did so to the possible and, in my opinion, probable injury to the public safety and national security as a whole.
So, well, for our listeners, this is the case where a letter was sent from members of Congress to the government of Iran, basically saying, we don't care what deal gets made now, that deal won't stand for very long. Is that
right.
Overly simplified?
I don't think it's overly simplified. I think they have taken the Senate and turned it into an instrument of damage
oh.
to the nation. Okay?
Yes.
It has long been legal precedent. I was reminded of this by an attorney who I happened to share a comment board with, and we went round and round on whether the Logan Act was even applicable because it hasn't been used in so long. The last time somebody was actually indicted under the Logan Act, if I recall correctly, indicted rather than convicted, was the same year Marbury versus Madison became case law. 1803.
Wow.
Can you give us a brief summary
of the Logan Act?
The Logan Act basically says that any citizen who, without authority of the United States, interferes with ongoing diplomacy of the United States is subject to a term of to both fine and a term of imprisonment of 3 years. Now, here is where little bit of background. Everybody's talking about how the Democrats did it too, meaning Nancy Pelosi went to Syria to speak to the head of government of Syria when she was Speaker of the House. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a shred of proof of what was said and whether it undermined anything with regard to any verbal conversation that may have occurred while she was speaking with Assad. For all we know, she spoke with Assad about the best place to have coffee and pie on March 14th, 2015. Okay?
At 9:26.
Yeah, okay. And this is different because the letter speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And is buttressed by the Iranians, by Iran's head of state's response to that letter directly. Okay?
Yes, yes.
Khamenei, today about the United States being dysfunctional as a government with that letter as proof. Now, the reason it's a call to action and why I believe those 48 people, those 48 citizens of the United States should be indicted under the Logan Act is pretty simple. Number one, the elements are present for violation, okay? Number two, their little stunt has placed in jeopardy the good faith and credit of the United States as a government and as a people internationally, not just with Iran, but among, and I'm quoting, friends and foe alike, end quote.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, and it seems just kind of bodacious, you know what I mean? It's like, even if I don't understand the Logan Act, and even if I don't understand the nuances the way you do, and I so appreciate that you do, this just seems like another in a series of pretty bodacious maneuvers. Another one was, you know, obviously inviting Netanyahu, you know, you going around the executive branch to bring a foreign dignity into the United States. By the way, I thought that was pretty, it was actually kind of funny that on the one hand, people were threatening to shut down Homeland Security, and on the other hand, they would have shut it down just before he came. And I thought, oh no, this is just a house of cards. This would not go well if
yeah.
that happened. You know, so that's like bodacious.
Now, Boehner,
there's a lot of them. Go ahead.
I was going to say, now, Boehner's stunt is at least protected by the speech and debate clause, okay?
Yes.
He is immune from prosecution for anything that is said in the way of speech or debate on the floor of the House of Representatives. And that's why he was so careful to drag Netanyahu into his house. Also,
yes.
It's of note that Israel is not one of the negotiating group in our negotiation with Iran. They have an interest in it, but they are not one of the negotiating nations.
Right.
Iran is
yeah,
at the table.
Yeah, I always see them as the man. Yeah. I mean, I always feel like they're in the room whether they're there or not. You know,
right,
but yeah, you're correct.
Okay, now Cotton's letter, on the other hand, is on U.S. Senate stationery, published to the leaders of Iran outside of the hallowed halls of the United States Senate chamber, and is covered not by speech or debate, but by freedom of the press.
Yes.
And prior restraint didn't happen. Okay? They can't argue prior restraint because that letter reached the leadership of Iran. It went
yes.
to its intended recipient. Okay? Rand
right.
Paul can talk woulda, coulda, shoulda all he wants about the message being to the actual message being to the president and to the secretary of state. That's not who that letter was sent to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Retrospect does not create lack of violation of law. This to me is a slam dunk case of violation of the Logan Act, coupled because of the 47 Republican senators plus Governor Bobby Jindal, a slam dunk case of violation plus 48 separate counts of conspiracy to violate the act on the part of each and every signatory to that letter. Now, I've done the
yeah.
math. I failed the math early on, thinking it was only potentially 6 years in prison. But when you add in the conspiracy charge with each and every other signatory, it becomes a lot more than six. It becomes a potential 144 years in prison for each and every signatory to that letter.
Oh my gosh. Well, and you know, it does just seem to be escalating, doesn't it? Because, you know, another sort of bodacious event, or in my mind, taking it back to my very unsophisticated relationship to the law, you know, unlike yours, was the whole thing when there was discussion about, you know, within the Senate Armed Services Committee about, you know, how much war can a president make without the Congress, or you know, basically acting as the commander-in-chief. Yes, and acting as though the
yeah.
commander-in-chief had no singular responsibility, you know, had no ability to act without permission and without any. And one of the things that really was interesting to me is that John McCain, bless his heart, finally said, okay, he like called uncle and said, we can't have a situation where we have 535 commanders in chief. You know, we
right.
can discuss these issues, we can do whatever, but we're not rewriting the law here, but we're pretending like it doesn't exist. And, you know, it's interesting to me that we spend time in these little exercises that sound so, I don't know, consequential, when the truth be told, there's so much going on that no one has any right to do. So what becomes consequential is whether or not the law is enforced, you know. And
right.
as we know from other current events, like what's happening in Ferguson, or you know, the story behind the 50th anniversary of Selma, is that law is
right.
very oftenly selectively applied. And that's
true.
Contrary to sort of the attitude of the people, that this was supposed to be the republic where that didn't happen. And so I
right.
kind of, it's so in my face about this. And that's why I so much love having an educated opinion about it, because I'm really kind of, is it really just not nice to hold elected officials accountable to the language and precedent of law? And that is
right. If they make the law, they ought to have to obey the law.
Yeah. And they ought
okay.
not to be able to they ought not to be able to ignore law they didn't make. You know, they inherit
right.
more law than they make. And it's
that's
like
true.
If they didn't make it, doesn't make it not the law of the land. And
right.
And equity,
No man is above the law is established first in the Magna Carta and then in U.S. versus Nixon as to the law of the United States.
Right.
The king is not about the law. Has been around since about 1215. We're now in 2015, 800 years later.
Well, and this is a fundamental tenet of this republic's democracy. And this is a fundamental issue when there is social, civil, economic unrest. And it always seems to track back to a lack of equity under the law. That's another problem with the letter.
Is that if the government of the United States' own word, okay, is not to be trusted by that government's, by personnel within that government's own admission, okay?
Yeah. I'm following.
Tom Cotton is part of the government, so is Bobby Jindal, so are all the signatories. But they are not the government of the United States. They are part of the government. And to the rest of the world, the president is the government when dealing with foreign nations. Do you understand the distinction I'm making there?
Oh, sure. They are part of the government. They are not the government, and they are certainly not the handshake that reaches out from this nation to others.
Right.
You know, they're sort of an in-house thing, and their level in the separation of powers, their role is to be the potential counter of what that person might do, or a balance to what either of the other two branches of government might do, whether it's the executive or the judiciary, right? But it is not their job to take over the job of either one of them. That's not their form of influence. And so
it'd be like the President of the United States issuing an executive order in regard to interstate commerce and enforcing it. The Supreme Court's held that interstate commerce is a plenary congressional function. Okay?
Well, I don't know what plenary means, but...
plenary means all-encompassing. In other words, they're the only ones that are supposed to touch that at all.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And the same goes for the hand that reaches out from our nation to the rest of the world being a plenary function of the presidency, subject to his agency through appointment of ambassadors and appointment of State Department officials.
Well, right. And, you know, this misconstrued...
And they do have an advising consent function in the Senate, and they have used it. That's the end of their power right there. That's where
exactly.
it stops.
That's how it's why it is a balance of power. That's why we call it this three-legged stool, is so that nobody kind of runs away with the ball, you know.
Bingo, exactly what Tom Cotton and those others who signed that infamous letter did. They tried to take the ball from the President of the United States.
Yeah, and
that is against the law. And the law that was broken is called the Logan Act.
Nice. And I think that they're just serially, there is a group of people who are serially becoming more bold about trying to steal the ball. And sometimes I think of it like, if you go to the Super Bowl or you watch these games on TV and they have replay after replay in super slow-mo and, you know, did the shadow line up with the foot that, you know, extended over the line? And I mean, if we were as careful with managing the law at this level of government as we are about whether or not that foot was inbounds or out of bounds, or whether or not that ball was actually in possession at the time of the flight over the line. If we were as careful with government as we are with freaking football, you know,
it would be
a
wonderful thing.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
I agree.
I think that's a great statement on your part. I really, really do. I think you're absolutely right. I think the other thing that moves me to action on this is Marco Rubio's response to it by trying to raise money off of the action. Now, there's a time-honored principle that someone who violates the law cannot profit by that violation.
Oh, that's right. That's not even the part I was looking at when you said that. I was thinking about, you know, the whole Lawrence Lessig cycle of corruption. And I'll speak to that later. Why don't you finish this point? That's right. You cannot make profit from your illegal act.
It may be going to a PAC. Okay, and that may be a shelter, if you will, for the action. I don't know. That one is outside of my pay grade as far as figuring that one out. Okay?
Well, that's a whole
that one's purely a judge's decision. Okay, whether that PAC should be able to keep that money that is raised off of what I believe to be an illegal action, a federal felony.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because it's like there's already sort of in my mind and in the mind of many other people who believe that money in politics is sort of morphed outside not only the level of being reasonable, but the level of being legal. And the reason is that PACs have become these money laundering organizations. You know, the
good
U.S.
Word
Chamber
for,
of Commerce.
Good words for
it. Yes. I mean, it's really clear with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce because they accept money from all over the world, huge amounts of money, and then they filter it out to candidates. So, I mean, if you were going to try to prove this is like, you know, I learned this watching Elliot Ness, you know, in the 60s, that little TV show in black and white. But, you know, if Marco Rubio directs, yes, that was it. If he directs people to a fundraising organization to say, if you support our sort of functional coup against the presidency, then send money to these guys, and they'll turn around and send it back to me, and my hands will be clean. I mean, but this is, you know, the reason I am so outspoken about money in politics is because fundamentally this is what it always comes back to. When you try to make sense out of things and they don't make any sense, then follow the money. You know,
That's what Woodward and Bernstein did.
Yes, and from the Watergate incident. And
right.
So this is, isn't it ironic that you start out talking about sort of the integrity of law and how failure to maintain the integrity of law, even in the most blatant terms, like the separation of powers among the three legs of our government.
Right.
Always seems to come back to what's in it for me. And
right.
Sometimes I am just not cynical enough to figure it out.
That's the problem. You know, that politics costs so much money to accomplish that it has become an industry, political money, unto itself.
Yes.
When you go to sign a petition that you find on Facebook, okay, and it is not operated by a public entity like the White House, okay,
mm-hmm.
but is instead operated by a group outside of the government, they have petitions I don't want to put my name on simply because I know that the moment I sign that document, whatever it is, I'm going to get my email inundated on every issue of their concern rather than the issue for which I signed the petition.
Yes, you know, as a matter of fact, as a practice here at Coffee Party USA, we try to let people know that if we submit a petition, our privacy standards remain, nothing happens, your name doesn't go anywhere. If you're not on our list of people who want to receive emails, it doesn't go any farther. If you get an email from us and you don't want to, you just unsubscribe. But I've actually stopped promoting petitions unless I can actually vet who's collecting the information.
Right.
And when it's a private nonprofit that has an identity, that has a privacy statement, and has some assurance that any people I send to that petition are going to be protected, you know, have some level of security with their information, then I am willing to promote it on Facebook or Twitter or any kind of social media.
Right.
But that's cut out like 50% of the petitions in the past I might have had people sign, you know, might have promoted. Yeah.
Yeah, because your name is on the line with what happens with that petition after they sign to it.
Yeah. And
because they will remember that you directed them to it.
Yeah, I'm the evil doer. And actually, more importantly than that, I just think that because I know better, then I have to practice good, you know, responsible reporting, you know?
Right.
So I actually have to do some reporting on any organization I would send you to. And so, like I said, it's eliminated like half of them. So, Bob, we have another caller. Although I could talk to you about this all day, as you know, would you like to stay on with us? I can mute you, and we can come back at the end, or would you like to sort of make a closing statement for folks now?
Quick closing statement, and I can always jump back into the queue if I need to.
Okay.
Chuck Todd posted something on Facebook that reminded me of good journalism on this Cotton 48 issue. And basically it's a time-honored parental saying: when breaking up a fight between two squabbling siblings, where one of them would say, "But he punched me." Okay? So I punched him back. And the saying is, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
So everything that the Republican signatories of that letter are saying about events that weren't prosecuted in the past that might potentially violate the Logan Act should be subjected to that two wrongs don't make a right philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that somebody else has gotten away with it in the past doesn't change anything for me. You know, ask my children. But
yeah, cops stops you for speeding. He doesn't care whether 75 other people got away with it. He cares about whether you're getting a ticket or not.
Oh, that hit too close to home, buddy. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, Bob. Thank you.
And with
Bob,
that, I
always
yield the floor.
And I will put you on hold. And thanks for being my first caller back.
Sounds good.
All right, we're going to open up area code 781. And if I can push the button fast enough. And I think this is Kathleen.
Hi, Janine, it is. Good to have you back.
Thank you so much. It's so
great to have you
back
on the air again. Yeah, you sound wonderful. So,
oh, lovely.
And what a bonus to have Bob as the first caller. Fantastic to hear from Bob. It's been
yes.
a while. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, great conversation, you guys. Oh, I could listen to you guys all afternoon, but I thought I'd chime in. I hope you don't mind.
Okay.
I wanted to thank you so much for the announcements you made at the beginning of the show, including about the elections and the election committee, because I'm a volunteer on the election committee. And last year was my first year, and back for a second year, and it's a great group of people, and I surprised myself by how much I actually enjoy it. So it's wonderful to be able to talk to a variety of different people and get to know them on a pretty good level. And so I wanted to say kudos, thank you. I welcome anybody who's interested to give us a shout and see if it's a good fit. We're a pretty good group, I think.
Well,
humble.
I think it's wonderful. And by the way, I want to say thank you, because this is a big job. You know, we don't know how many candidates we'll have, but, you know, every single one of them fills out an application. Every application has to be reviewed. It's a big application. So anyone out there considering running, click through the links and go check out. We have posted the entire application packet. And I think it's I think you do the really, you're carrying the heavy weight here for Coffee Party, because if we're going to stay a grassroots organization, we need to not only qualify applicants, but they also deserve to know exactly what they're in for. You know, I think, you know, they need to know that we have an annual meeting every year, and so far the Coffee Party's never been able to pay your transportation to the annual meeting. You know, so it takes a little bit of in-kind giving to be able to participate, although we do everything we can to supplement that, but there's no guarantee.
Right.
And the one guarantee is we will have an annual meeting because that's required in the bylaws. And so somehow we have to meet face-to-face once a year, even though we're, you know, in Oregon and Texas and Illinois and New Jersey, or where, I don't even remember where it is from now. And, so we're always all over the country. And, of course, having spent so many years in Vegas, every year I say, well, let's go to Vegas. Well, just because all airports lead to Vegas, and there's always
flights.
I'm not a gambler. My mother-in-law would go. So, so anyway, you know, volunteers, we are an all-volunteer organization.
Right.
So no paid staff. And that's actually, you know, the more volunteers, the better, because, you know, you carry just a piece of that load instead of all of that load, you know. And
right.
I know somebody's listening today who'd be a great addition to the election committee, and he'll do a great job in vetting applicants and deliver a great candidate like us in June.
Well, it's my pleasure,
yeah.
And it is an important piece of the organization. Is getting good people on board who are as committed as those of us who have volunteered, you know, to move things forward and keep keep striving to meet our goals and to be active citizens, as you refer to it. It's been a pleasure for me, the experience, both as part of the newsroom and on the election committee. It's just, it's been wonderful. And but I the other of my call to actions is, as you know, is campaign finance reform. And the reason I got into it was because of my niece and nephew. They're 8 and 10 years old, and I looked at the way the government was functioning and said, what kind of future are they going to have, given the way things are and the fact that we're not improving, shall we say? And so that was my motivation, was their future, and to do what I could to make things better as I saw them, and to seek out like-minded people like yourself and countless others that I've met. And it's been a fantastic experience. I've learned more about government I'm so appreciative to everybody that's crossed my path because they've all taught me real valuable either life lessons or lessons in practicality or lessons about the law, like from Bob, listening to him speak about the law. It's just such a pleasure. I learned so much, and I'm grateful to all the people I've come in contact with, so including yourself, Janine. Thank you very much because you were instrumental at getting me to become even more of an active citizen. So I'm grateful for you.
So that makes I just made my day, of course. You know, I have this little thing I call Hero of the Day, and I have a little picture of underdog flying through the air. And so I'm going to put up my Hero of the Day underdog for you.
You're a hero of the day right there. Yep.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm a hero every day. that's what my great being Jack thinks, that, you know, I'm queen of the universe. But
there you go.
So I guess
I'm
allowed to sort of give my edict every day and declare. Bob, by the way, has been my hero of the day many times. And because he brings such brilliant simplicity to what I think is very convoluted law. And you bring such energy to everything that we do that it feels wonderful. So do you have any closing remarks you'd like to make, or is there any other issue that you'd like to bring onto the table? I see callers but no hands, and maybe you'll inspire someone. Although, you know, we're almost out of time.
I would just encourage anybody listening to look into getting involved in Coffee Party in any way, shape, or form, because it takes a lot of, you know, little acts all put together to accomplish something really good. And I think we're on that road, and I just would encourage people to take a chance and get more active. And thank you, Janine.
I like take a chance. Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for taking a chance.
Welcome back.
Bye-bye. So, you know, what an interesting segue that we just got all the way back to how I opened the show, which is knowing to do everything, but everyone can do something. My new motto, hopefully my new T-shirt. I hope I'm not stepping on toes out there in T-shirt volunteer land. And I think it really does come down to that. So whether you're sharing information in social media, whether you're participating in conversations like this, I'm a postcard sender. So whether you're sending postcards, not only ask questions when there's some doubt in your mind, but also to thank people for what you consider to be appropriate behavior. There are a million things you can do. You can participate in the events in the, that we find in the calendar of opportunity and that I try to share with you on the Lunch with Them Facebook page and also on the Join the Coffee Party Movement Facebook page. There may even be a Coffee Party Movement Facebook page more specific to your neck of the woods. And so you might want to go searching for that because it's a great place to have conversations. I'm an active participant in the Join the Coffee Party movement in the Pacific Northwest. And we're a ragtag team of people who wear socks with their sandals and exchange great information with just that right attitude. You know, it's like sometimes you have to laugh or you're going to cry. And so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to we're short on time, and I was going to run a promotional video or audio. And so thank you to the tech team who puts together the audios, and I promise to use them next week. But let me just give you a couple of last-minute thoughts. So first of all, Coffee Talk Internet Radio has several shows, and we're just looking to have more in the future. Thursday, of course, is Lunch with Loudon. Here you are. Thanks very much. Share the post that brought you here and let people join in on the conversation. Saturday, Politics Done Right, Zigberto Willie. Zigberto is out of Texas and he has an amazing political perspective. Sunday, I take liberty with my coffee with Bobby Rodrigo. Bobby adds a whole new dimension to the conversations that we have. Remember, Coffee Party USA is a transpartisan organization, which includes everyone and excludes no one who is willing to be civil and reasonable. Our modus operandi is to incite civility and reason. And Bobby has amazing guests and amazing perspective. And if you ever want to be entertained, we'll have Bob and Bobby debate national law, constitutional law especially. It's a wonderful thing. Now, almost every day, 4 or 5 days a week, we also have the Tim Danahay Show, which is actually broadcast at danahay.com, D-A-N-A-H-E-Y.com. Tim is on the board of directors now. He's an amazing researcher, reporter, and interviewer. And I think you'll enjoy his show. And also we have specials like Book Club. I announced earlier that our next Book Club broadcast will be March 30th. And we'll be talking to the author. We actually have the author online for that show to discuss the book. And you can find out about it by going to www.coffeepartyusa.com. We'll also, as Kathleen could tell you, we'll have candidate interviews happen. So applicants are all interviewed, and then the ones who become candidates have another interview, and we broadcast that on Blog Talk Radio. And so you can actually be an informed voting member when time comes to cast your ballot. Coffee Party USA is a totally crowdfunded organization. Citizens United has not benefited us. I wish I had an echo of voice, you know, when we button this up on has not benefited us. So to become a voting member or to donate, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com. There's a huge donate button. Click on that and see what you see. Contribute as often as you like and with as much or as little as you like. We have sustaining memberships that begin at $5 a month, and we have an annual membership that starts as low as $30 a year. And again, you are the heart and soul that purchases the infrastructure, and it's almost like the toiletries of social media, but maybe I shouldn't use that word. So thank you very, very much. And I guess I just want to end with how great it feels to be back, and how appreciative I am that people patiently waited, and how thrilled I am at your participation today. So with that, coffee party on.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. La 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 la, feeling groovy. Hello lamppost, what you knowing? I come to watch your flowers growing. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Do it do do, feeling groovy.